The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gigantic. It is December 28th, 2023, the last Gigantic Pop of the year. And here we are. I'm Glenn, joined by Matt and Raj. And Matt is just getting down to the music over there. Good. Anyhow, good to see you guys.
Pretending to be you.
Happy early new year.
I'm pretending to intro as I'm pretending to be you in the moment, predicting what you were going to say in the intro. Happy New Year, everybody.
You're free to do the intro 1 week, Matt. You're free to bring us in.
Let me do it, please, because they love my, not intro, what do you call the exit of the show last.
It's true.
The bumper.
Yeah. Yes.
From 1984, quoting Johnny Carson.
Good to see you guys. The year's almost over.
Yeah. Here we are. Who would have thought? Who would have thought a year ago
the year would have come to end?
But a year ago that the three of us would be back together and the pod is doing well. Just want to thank everybody as always. Hit that like and hit that subscribe button. It really has been helping us out a lot and we appreciate it.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to see you all. Hope everyone had a good holiday.
Do it versus you saying do it. You have to say smash.
Smash
that like button. Smash that subscribe button.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. It's weird that we're doing this a few months now. It's crazy. But thank you to the community for supporting us. This has been cool. Things have been on a roll. It's great to see all the support, the comments, the likes, the subscriptions, the tweets, all of this. Yeah, it's crazy. So we wanted to do today, kind of wrap up the year, talk about kind of our picks of 2023. Talk about some of our moments, our favorite stuff in wrestling and media. Yeah, and I hope everyone had a good Christmas. Matt, how was Christmas with the fam? Everything was good. I saw you posted some great photos on your social media. Yeah, looked like everyone had great. A good time.
Yes, sir. How was everybody else's?
Oh, it's fine. Raj, how about you?
It was great. Hung out with the family. I think, was that the night I got in the little tiff with Joey Janela?
It might have been the day after Christmas.
It might have been the day after.
Tenfold
good
day.
Times.
Yeah.
Right.
So you had better, you mean to tell me you had better Twitter control of your account than Chris Jericho did on Christmas at 4 a.m.?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Twitter is not, it's not good news.
It is not, especially when you're up at 4 a.m. and, nothing good happens after 4 a.m., but I'll digress.
No. Yeah, there should be some sort of like a time thing on Twitter where it's like, are you sure you want to be tweeting right now? It's 4 a.m. and, you know, chances are you've had a few.
So with that, really quick, I remember going off on a good friend of mine, Bully Ray, on his take on Seth Rollins getting over on Punk in that first initial one-on-one promo. And I was calling up Bully, who's a good friend of mine, and everybody over there on his radio show, you know, and it just so happened to be like 2 or 2:30 a.m. But as everybody knows, I don't drink alcohol. I'm a bodybuilder. It doesn't help the cause of bodybuilding. But at the same token, I was like, they're probably gonna respond to this because it's so late in the morning. But you need to explain what I missed with Joey Janela, please. Or would it help if Glenn did it?
I mean, these guys have heat to the point where I asked the other week, are you building up to a match somewhere? Because this keeps happening with you. I know Joey's on the indies. You know, he's not getting that AEW money anymore. He's got to earn a living.
Right.
He's a grown up now. Can't just get paid in hot dogs and replacement sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And you guys go at it. He's going at you about business practices. You're going at him about losing his ex-girlfriend and about his financial situation. He got a little questionable with some of the stuff he was saying the other night. I don't want to repeat it, but there was
Time out. You can't roll this over. Okay. Our fans don't maybe know what we're talking about. So please detail it for my dumb butt. Because I didn't see it.
How did this start? How did this all start a few months ago?
Just randomly. He just... So I guess he's had some heat with JD from New York.
Okay.
I don't know what people have.
There's podcast drama. There's podcast drama.
Okay. And then a couple other people. And then he included me. And it's weird because I cannot remember ever even talking about Joey Janela. Like, ever.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I mean, he's... With all due respect, he's just not that relevant to where he gets brought up. So he called me out, and it was just bizarre to me. At first, I didn't know if he was, because a lot of people confuse me with Raja from WWF, you know, that website.
Oh, yeah.
I was in college. That was my number one site, Raja, WWF, WCW.com. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought maybe he was confusing me with that guy or something, but yeah. And, yeah, just said, you know, like 4 years ago, you know, Janela was signed by the number two promotion and was dating Penelope Ford, and now he's where he is.
God, you make it seem so tasteful. Like, I painted a picture.
So this is why, Glenn, time out. Yeah. This is why you, Glenn, the moderator, have got to tell the story, because he's not going to tell it all the way.
Well, I just see all the tweets. No, so it's like he was going in. Okay, so he was going in at Raj at some business practices stuff. As people know publicly, Raj and Sean Ross Sapp, before he left for Fightful, had a paid dispute.
We didn't have any disputes. But
okay, Raj, you had no disputes. Sure,
no,
you could have had Sean Ross Sapp, the biggest journalist in all of online, is it short of Dave Meltzer? You could have had him, but you didn't want to pay him whatever you paid for Taylor Swift tickets a year.
Yeah, 7 years
his
ago.
His privilege to do so, because it's
his right
business,
to do so.
His LLC and his business.
And if I would have known Sean Ross
7 years ago, we couldn't afford it. So
if I would have known Sean Ross Sapp would have worked for that much, I would have hired him for that much.
Yeah, I'm not selling off my investments to.
Yes, Raj. He was a starving artist. He was on welfare. He was literally living in a poorhouse, typing out wrestling stories, and he couldn't afford to pay Sean Ross.
Time out. I got a better one. You being starved is like me being short, but I'll digress. So, listen, Glenn, I don't understand. So, where does Joey Janela get off talking about business practice?
Yeah. Okay. So, what happened was Raj had tweeted about the Taylor Swift tickets. Sean Ross Sapp had taken issue. Because apparently, hold on a second. I'm getting
to say it correctly.
Okay, what I'm saying, what happened was Sean took issue because the amount of the Taylor Swift tickets was ballpark what Sean was looking for 7 years ago when Raj was on food stamps. And you know, food stamps. I don't know if you know this. They're literally not stamps that you eat in place of food. They're stamps that you exchange for. Well, I didn't know.
This is true.
Food stamps sound like edible stamps. Anyhow, so Sean took issue with this and tweeted it. Somewhere in the brouhaha, hold on.
It's incorrect.
Joey tweeted the screenshot of Sean's tweet about this and was like, Joey was like, oh, you exploitive motherfucker, like you're taking advantage of people, yada yada. Like that was Joey kicking it up a notch and making it personal. And then Raj was like, I've got more money in my seat cushions than you made last year.
Probably ever.
Yeah, come at me, whatever. I buy and sell people like you, you know. So anyhow, it was getting really heated and personal. So that was sort of round one. That's where it stopped, was about the bringing up the Sean Ross. Round two, this past time, for some reason, Joey is obsessed with the size of people's genitals and tweeted something at Raj. And then Raj, assuming that Joey was playing into a racist stereotype, which absolutely understandable, which actually was one I was not familiar with. But then
the Asian thing. Yeah.
Yes. And then Raj threw that at Joey, and then Joey's coming back. And it's always weird when you have to be like, oh, no, no.
Tails. No, 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 no. Yeah. Can we please pull it? Can you pull it up so you can say it?
I'm trying to really taste it. Digging through this, it's like 100 tweets, Matt. And then David Bixby's getting into it. And then people are just going off
which
the
rails. Which is ironic because David gets a lot of heat on Twitter. And it's like, dude, you're getting involved. Just sit the fuck down.
So then
Ryan Lass ripped him a new one multiple times, but I'm sorry.
So then after going at Raj with that, then he's going after the fact that Raj has daughters and not sons, but if he had sons, they'd be less endowed because Raj apparently like isn't packing. And so then Raj is like, look at this woman that you had years ago and you F this up, you loser.
Oh my lord.
Well, he went from AEW to Penelope, you know, and Penelope Ford to working for burritos and hot dogs. Well, you know.
So I did not ask this question for you to take some more shots. Hang on. So Roz, let me ask you a question. If you still had and you were you know, the owner of, you know, your wrestling website, would you have gotten into it like this?
Oh gosh, probably not.
And this must feel amazing. This must feel very freeing for you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I mean, I have no problem with Joey. I don't know him. Again, we never bring him up.
Can I ask a more important question? Because I'm just, I've never seen these tweets. This is the truth, folks. Yeah. They're just telling me this right now.
Yeah.
They were talking about this, but why is John Ross Sapp talking about this crap now? He has a very successful site. Geez. He's doing great, from what I gather. Why would he bring this up now?
I think he's friends with Joey, so I'm guessing that's
kind of.
Joey was. Hang on, I thought Joey screenshotted his Sean Ross, whatever it was. Saps.
No, it wasn't over the Taylor Swift tickets. It was when me and Joey, you know, started going back and forth on Twitter. And then Sean, in the middle of our exchanges, brought that up. But
okay, got it.
You know,
I got it.
Wrestling Inc. at that time when Sean was there was not doing as well financially as it was a few years later. It was a very different ballgame. And you know.
Which I know because when I first started with you guys, I'll tell the truth. Like, it wasn't about being paid. It was about being part of somebody I was friends with and wanting to review Raw and SmackDown and things of the like. And then it got into, after a while, and I proved myself and things like that to be able to be paid to do so. But even that wasn't much. It was more just hang out with my friend Raj. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, by the end, you know, we had over 50 people that were paying, you know, every month. And a lot of people are making tens of thousands of dollars and more, you know, full-time income. So, you know, when it changed, the more profitable the site became, the more people got paid. But anyway.
But you give them hot dogs because they don't have to write that off.
Well, I apologize. And my apologies. I didn't know, like, you guys brought this. I had no idea what you were talking about. So I asked just to be clear because I had no idea what you all talked about. I'm never on Twitter. I post the stuff I want to post about my family and then in Longwood, and then I'm not reading ish on there.
And I'm being 100% genuine when I say I have no real issues with Joey Janela. I really hope him, you know, I hope the best.
Because you're busy. You have a life. You have a family. That's why.
Yes. I don't think about him. So he keeps bringing me up. He thinks about me, but I don't think about him. But I do really wish him.
Well, maybe he saw when you popped your shirt off the other night, you know, and he's jealous. Maybe. Your physique's arguably better than his.
Yeah.
I'll get a better one, Glenn. When it came time to covering AEW back then, when it first started, and you can go back, folks, and watch the shows. You actually had a podcast here that was actually cheering him on, actually, when others were not. I'll just point that out for what it's worth.
Yeah. No, and I think him and Sonny Kiss is a great tag team what if we never really got to see through to fruition. Look, I've done business with Joey. I've given Joey Janela money through one of my clients. We sponsored stuff that he did at StarCast. Got to meet Tone Loke, who insisted in his rider having a shrimp from Hooters, which smelled up the backstage. And then
he wanted shrimp from Hooters?
That's right. And then Tone Loke went. went and did a set of songs where he played Funky Cold Medina and Wild Thing, and then eight other songs, none of which were his. He did like Nothing But a G Thing and Rapper's Delight. Yeah, just like random hit rap songs. It was super weird.
But that still sounds awesome.
It was a strange party that Joey Janela hosted. But no, Joey's always been nice. Look, I think that people with the wrestling media and podcasts especially, you know, there's the superstars of wrestling, right? There's the CM Punks, the Roman Reigns, the people that are household names, or household names at least for people that follow wrestling. And there's people that are either on their way up or on their way down. Maybe they get to the middle. Maybe the trajectory changes. And I think that I've seen the positive of it. There are people that watch the NXT podcast I do with Issa that are in NXT, and not a lot of people are talking about them. So we get nice notes and things when they appreciate something we said, because not a lot of people cover them. And there are people that are on the way down, and when some people take shots, or they feel like people have taken shots at them, they pay attention, because it's not, I mean, could you imagine Roman Reigns every day? There aren't enough hours in the day for Roman Reigns to keep track of everything somebody's saying about him online. But with Joey Janela, not that many people are talking about him. He's got time on his hands. He's very aware of what people are saying about him online. And sometimes, as we've seen, sometimes people can just get roped into shit. Like, I'm blocked by JBL and HBK. I have no clue why. Somebody tagged me in a mean tweet to them.
I'm going to text JBL to fix that.
Yes.
One other thing in what you're saying, I will say this about the pro wrestling business, that is very different from the entertainment business. You say how folks go up and then they go down, but they can go back up again. They can go down again, and they can go back up one more time. We've seen that. Sure. So I always believe in pro wrestling, you treat everybody with respect and just treat people, God forbid, like human beings, and treat them well. Because just because you're working toward the top of the card does not mean you should ever in a million years jabron somebody that's below you, because they're going to pass you by eventually.
And you guys know this. Over so many years, I never take shots at a wrestler.
No, and it ever. Takes a lot for you. I'm not defending this because I'm your boy.
Yeah.
I know firsthand that, and I remember this because I was still a wrestler at the time. You don't remember this, Raj, but like you would require at least two sources before you would print something. And I remember being really annoyed with you going like, dude, this is happening here. And like, what else do I have to do? Like, I want me to video it. Really? What do you need from me to tell you? Because it was hurting my company at the time that I was working for.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't help it. I can't print it out of two sources. So if that's how you handle that and something that you can make easy money on, it's easy to understand that without question, you're not picking fights with rando wrestlers. That's for sure.
Right.
because the respect you have for the business. So I'll always vouch for you, and F everybody else that won't.
And Matt, you know, we would talk about, you know, because Toby Keith was in serious talks about buying TNA. Mm-hmm. And we would talk about it, but I couldn't report it because either the second sources that I had were off the record. Yep. And I respected that. And it was, you know, it was a pretty huge story that and CM Punk
comparatively
2 years ago going to AEW was a huge story that I could not. Print. First of all, Tony Khan, actually, I went to Tony Khan and he denied it, but I think I worded it wrong. But I won't do it.
Comparatively, with today's day and age where they don't need a source, they make up the source and just for clicks, and they're not the first to do it. It happened back when I was in college watching wrestling as a fan. But that's the difference between a real a site and people with real priorities and respect for the business versus those that don't have it just for quick, fast action, quick subscribers and things of the like. And I hope people start to pay attention to those sites to see, are they really breaking news or are they just stating the obvious?
Yeah. And that's, remember, I'm not going to say his name, but there was a journalist maybe a year and a half ago, someone that was actually very well liked on wrestling Twitter, who got a lot of things correct, but it seemed like the conventional wisdom. And then there was an issue where it was like, oh no, he was just straight up making stuff up. And a lot of people co-signed a vouch for him because he seemed like a really, really good guy. And he had been right about enough things, but it's strange how it works. But you know, the thing that I want to say though, is that to give Joey Janela a modicum of credit here, there's something in this community where you can get over with the IWC, like the Twitter, like wrestling Twitter, right? Like the hardcore. You can get over sometimes if there's, you know, sometimes by going after a media figure, and people have done it with Meltzer. Sure. People have done it, mm-hmm. not so much with Sean Ross Sapp. He seems universally liked. Raj, you really shouldn't have let that one go. But with JD.
hey, man, I didn't let him go. He left.
Well, yeah.
Look, with Sean, I wanted him to take over my spot, you know, yes, eventually get to that level. Yeah.
Yes. But no, but I'm saying is that like with JD and with some other people out there, they're well known enough that, yeah, if you have an issue with them and you beef with them on
You're
Twitter.
Classifying JD from New York in there.
Do you know how many subscribers he has on YouTube?
I don't care.
Yeah, but he's well known enough. About?
I don't care how many subscribers somebody has. I don't care what ratings are. It doesn't mean I'm going to like it.
I know, but okay. And then there's some people, like if you want to dunk on Billy Boddy or Brad Shepard, like that's just easy.
Oh my God.
Like there's some people that are just universally disliked to where it's just like.
Disco? Disco's universally disliked.
He said some shit. But yeah, you can score some easy internet points or like post a DM making fun of Conan for DMing you about his podcast. Like there's easy layups.
Wait, did people dump on Conan?
Because he DMs everybody and like, have you heard my podcast?
They don't remember he's like a wrestling legend on top of
yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I got one of the DMs from him and he was like, have you heard my podcast? And I thought he wanted to talk to me about advertising or something. And yeah. He was like, no, just have you listened to my podcast? And it was just like, that's literally his strategy. He just DMs like thousands of people saying like, have you listened to my podcast?
And with Disco, I think Conan probably gets a lot of hate because Disco's on his podcast. Yeah.
He does.
Disco says a lot of stupid stuff, but there is a lot of stuff he says that makes sense as well. It's unfortunate. Sorry,
their podcast is insanely popular because
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
Not insanely popular. Why does it keep popping up in my feed?
No. I know everybody's numbers. No, not even close. But let me give you another example. Like Cornette is a good one that if you want to start shit with him, maybe he starts really it back popular. With you. Cornette is really popular. But Ryback, like if you want to get into with Ryback online, some people do that for clout chasing. Like,
why does he get good numbers? Hang on, does Ryback get good numbers?
I don't think so. Ryback had a habit before he blocked me. He had a habit of engaging with people who trolled him. And that could be good, right? So let's say you're a wrestler, or let's say you're a wrestling fan, and you're like, hey, I want to boost my follower count and get into it online. Like, if you tweeted somebody like Ryback, who has a million followers, and Ryback's like, fuck this guy, and then somebody's like, actually, that guy's right. Fuck you, Ryback. You know, like, wrestling Twitter, Matt, it's good you don't get involved with this, because this is what I look at throughout the day, and I'm like, this is insane, and it's insane that I even pay attention to this, but people do. And then on Reddit, like it's a whole got a whole. Then websites pick it up and say like Raj Geary got into it with Joey Janela the other night.
I got to say this about Ryback because I used to do his podcast. I don't know if it does well or not, but I'm assuming he does complain a lot about the numbers he gets and saying like WWE is hurting the
algorithm. No, he thinks he's being shadow banned. Let's be clear.
Yes.
And I used to tweet
him about that. So that's the only reason why I think it's not doing well. Otherwise,
he thinks he's being shadow banned by WWE. Yes. Like WWE has enough pull to say, hey, what's the owner? X got him old.
Elon Musk.
Hey, Elon, because we're best friends with you out of left field all of a sudden. Come here, let us put you in a headlock and demand you put our boy Ryback on shadow. What? Come on. It sounds like the nut jobs for my own freaking party at times. Oh, shut up.
I've told you guys about this where the one wrestler in the last year that just called just chewing me out. And I'm like, I'm not even in the space anymore. Relax, dude. Was Ryback. And I used to do his podcast for free. Never charged him, never did anything. But
Glenn, have you frozen? Yeah. Because you should be commenting on this. We just had an opening here, and you're not taking it, so
no,
I will.
No, sorry. Someone missed me. Yes.
You mean that guy that you used to big dog in big league, me and Glenn, for when you'd go do your podcast when we were saying, hey, Raj, where are you tonight on our podcast?
He was my friend.
Sorry, I'm busy right now. In capital letters, Ryback.
We had, you know what? I forgot that we actually had Ryback on one time.
Yes,
and it was a funny episode. He actually did a good job on.
Yeah, Ryback was great.
Yeah. No, I think that so wrestling Twitter is super strange. There's people that follow it. Look, and I've
it's
seen
not
it.
Real life. Can I just I know. Tip fans off and give them the spoiler? It ain't real life. So yeah. Don't get yourselves crazy about it.
And I try and stay out of it for the most part. I mean, it's like I used to co-host a podcast with somebody who would get into it with people regularly from the community. Really? Yeah, Alfred made this video of JD that was just like, holy shit, I can't believe put this time into doing this. But and yeah, Alfred would get into it. Alfred's a good guy. I like him a lot. He's funny, but it's like, okay, man, I'm like, I told him, I said, when he and Sean, we got into a Sean Ross Sapp and stuff. I was just like, I'm staying out of this. Like, you both are my friends. This is
they
dumb.
Got into a fight between each other.
They still have heat.
Yeah.
What the hell? They're both good people. How? They're both good guys. I don't get it.
I mean, me and look, I gotta say this. Like, I get along with pretty much everyone. As far as the wrestling reporters go, I mean, me and Sean just broke a story last week about Dana Massey and the AEW office departures. I've worked with other sites and everything, and hey, JD and I get along, and Ryan Satin and all these guys. It's best to just stay out of the drama, and so let's move on.
We say that now, and then I'm gonna get tagged later at night where it's like Raj is going at it with Joey again.
He didn't say one negative word about him.
I know. He's going to do it tonight. He's going to say it's over.
A happy New Year.
Actually, it's funny, Raj, because during the Wink days, like, you weren't on Twitter that much, and now it's like all the time, man. Yeah, now
I'm retired now. I got nothing to do.
And because you still need fans to make you feel like your opinion's important to wrestling fans. Admit it, Raj.
All right. I got to stay relevant somehow. I'm joking. I mean, what else do I got, man?
Money. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So anyhow, what a year it's been. Yeah. What a year it's been. Raj is going to go over his Social Security statement later and talk about how much he made this year off dividends. How's the tax loss harvesting going, Raj?
Great.
Literally 20% of your audience even understood that.
If you want to save money on your taxes and you have losing stocks, sell those off and buy similar stocks. And you can do it. It's a real rule. It's called tax loss harvesting. Do it every year and it works.
So all you out there that are bouncing your stock portfolios at the end of the year, tomorrow's your last day.
Dude, sell your Exxon if it lost and get VDE or Chevron.
Anyhow.
Glenn, get through this stuff here. Why are we here, Glenn? Why are we here tonight?
So we're going with the best of 20, well, to bust Raj's chops, but then to talk about the best of 2023 and our pick.
Not the best, but the wrestler of the year.
Well, that's specifically what
CM Punk, who would have thought like that starting this year off that he'd be where he is right now? Like this year has just been really insane when you think about it.
So really quick, where were we January of last year? What was going on with CM Punk then?
Let's see. Cody won the Royal Rumble, right? He was going to go on to face Roman. Cody was feuding. CM Punk was injured. Was he injured at the start of the year or he got injured later?
That's what I'm wondering. Was he coming back already to Collision at this point or no?
No, Collision didn't start until the summer.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Really? That's even worse. God, that's even worse. They created a show for this cat.
Yeah. No, Punk
was in the summer.
Punk was out. Yeah, Punk was out. Blundered it. Collision.
Oh, my good Lord. Anyways.
Yeah, Punk was out all year until Collision started. So, yeah.
Which is weird, right? But I'll tell you. Okay, so here's the thing about CM Punk, and this is why there's an argument for him as wrestler of the year. But I it's weird in wrestling because things move so fast to think about the year as a 12-month period. Because
He's not my wrestler of the year.
No, I understand. I understand. But it's like, if you were to ask me who the wrestler of the year for the first 6 months of the year was, I would have a different answer than the second 6 months of the year. And if we were just going from July until now, I would say CM Punk, because people can't stop talking about him. People can't stop speculating about him. He's the certainly the number one topic.
He might be affecting TV deals.
Yeah, since July. Gigantic.
Crazy. So, how about this? When we each give our wrestler of the year, I want you guys and me as well to give our credentials as why we're giving this person our wrestler of the year. Is it ratings? Is it what you just said as far as TV rights deals, influence? I think we should all be very specific why we're giving whoever we're giving wrestler of the year to independently each.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, Raj, who's your overall pick? The 12 calendar months.
And Matt, to your point, I feel like that's there's so many different criteria as far as the guy that makes the most difference. It's probably Punk this year, right? Like he changed the complete landscape of everything. But as far as just overall draw, Roman Reigns, as far as the draw goes, as far as the rise, like someone that went from C to LA Knight.
I'm out. You're no. You're edging your bet. You have to pick one person, and then I'm gonna give you. We're gonna give you time to explain your reasons why. If you want, I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
MJF, without a question.
Really?
Because listen, this babyface stuff that people are not very really attracted to or happy about, that are MJF fans like myself. Did not start 12 months ago. He was still doing his best promos, his best work, I would argue. Mm-hmm. This is when he's at that, in my opinion, the best promo he's ever cut is at a post pay-per-view scrum when he walked in on the crutches and just won the world championship. But a little bit right after that, he's still cutting world beater promos at the time. He was still drawing people to AEW, in my opinion. He was also getting out there in the mainstream. People say what they want. It's true for him, at least, and AEW. And again, cutting world beater promos and attracting people to his character. Now, there was a little bit of a decline there towards the end with his babyface turn with Adam Cole. But then even though I thought that was corny, everybody else popped for it, liked it. It was getting the best ratings on the show. So I'm not judging anything what I'm saying on regards to rating number. I'm not saying in regards to social media numbers or wrestling Twitter numbers. I don't care about any of that. It's me as a wrestling mark sitting at home watching all the shows on TV and going, holy ish, this guy is my favorite wrestler for this year. So therefore he's my wrestler of the year, MJF.
All right. I'm going to go Roman Reigns. Every match he has feels like a big event. I don't care the number of times he's wrestled. I mean, I think him and MJF have had the same number of matches this year, or it's very close. I don't care about that.
MJF works into his character. Can I just point out MJF works into his character as a pick, by the way, which is why he's the best. Sorry.
Yeah, I love MJF, and MJF is my AEW pick, but I do think the babyface run has hurt him. I don't think he doesn't have that same...
I agree.
The aura has kind of gone down this baby face, but Roman, he has that aura. He feels like a gigantic star every time he's there. And yes, if he was on every week working pointless tag matches, that would bring it down. And right now, when he does wrestle, it means something. It feels like he's like how when we were kids and Hulk Hogan, when you saw him wrestle like five times a year, and it was a big deal every time. And I feel like Roman has that right now. He's special.
He does.
They keep him special. They're doing a great job. Roman's my guy.
Interesting.
Good pick.
Well, caveat that if we were splitting it, I would say Sami Zayn first half, CM Punk second half, but of the year. But if I had to pick year overall, I would have to say
Rhea Ripley. Was the bloodline? Hang on. Was Sami Zayn bloodline this year?
Calendar? Yeah, it was the first half of this year. That was the first half of this year.
Okay.
But then after Extreme Rules and Mania, like it just cool, like ice cold with Sammy.
January, February, March.
Yeah.
April? 4 months?
April. Yeah, you got the tag things with KO and then just kind of like,
So pivotal. So
good.
You're right. Sorry.
Yeah. And then Punk from July, because that's all everyone could talk about since July. But if I have to pick the entire year, I think Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea's been great as Raw Women's Champion. I think she helped elevate Dominic Mysterio. She's had great matches. From her fun match at Backlash with Zelina Vega, to her stuff with Raquel. Like, it's just been a really strong year for her. And her and Dominic, like, the chemistry they have together, the way that she could somehow still get nuclear heat with him, but then still be, like, over on her own. Like, it's super weird.
I've never seen that before, even with Mark Mero and Sable, by the way, folks. Let me go back in time and watch Sable coming out with Mark Mero. She was still getting cheered. Mm-hmm. Rhea does not get cheered when she's out there with Dom.
Yeah.
When she's by herself. She does.
It's amazing. Like,
I've never seen that.
And by the way, originally I was thinking, you know, it might be Dominic Mysterio, but the truth is Dominic without Rhea wouldn't be even, I mean, he'd have heat, but she's elevated him so much.
Because you have guys in the crowd that are jealous that how did this puny, dweeby, wimpy, whatever you want to call him, get her? There's a lot of that in the audience.
Yeah, and even her interviews where she's like totally just alluding. It's like that scene in Weird Science. Like, what do you see him? He's purely sexual, you know? Like, she's in the maracas, Dino. Like, it's amazing. She's put him over so much and given him so much confidence. But then
she's created another star with him, you could say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's got her own career that's going phenomenally well. There's like no rush to have her lose that title.
Hell no.
Yeah.
No way.
It's super good. I'm just so impressed with the year that she's had. And especially because we talk about this, it took a while, right? Like, there were the four horsewomen in WWE. Mm-hmm. They elevated Asuka. And then there was a bit of a gap. Like, and I think Ronda Rousey definitely contributed to that, where there just wasn't enough oxygen. But I have to say that with Bianca and Rhea, they've done an amazing job of building up like a whole other pool of talent, you know, and I think she's doing amazing.
Of a pick, actually. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I like it.
But man, first half of the year, Sam, if like we'd done this in May, it would have been like Sami Zayn all the way, because that was so good going into
it was hot
Montreal. So good going to the chamber.
The hottest, I will argue, I've seen wrestling. People that I know don't watch wrestling, I know for a fact don't watch it in my neighborhood, were asking me about it.
Yeah.
Like, that thing was red hot with him.
And that WrestleMania night one, too, was just, that was one of the best WrestleMania nights that they've ever had. And it was top, you know, it was top by that.
But transitioning into another category, I have to say that the stuff with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline coming to a head, by far my storyline of the year.
Easily,
yeah,
of the century.
I mean, I was about to say, yeah, decade, century, like, right? Because I don't remember since being, I'll be real, and you think I'm being like a mark here, so be it for folks watching, but I don't remember being this emotionally invested in a storyline, number one, since Andre got his hair cut by Big John Studd and Ken Patera, and I freaking hated it and cried as a little boy. And then number two, Paul Orndorff turning on Hogan and stealing his music. Like, I freaking hated it. I'm being serious. You can include NWO after that. You can include The Rock, Stone Cold, and all the storylines after that.
Macho and Hulk.
There you go. Mega powers. You can include all of those. None of them had the impact on me wanting to tune in more than Sami Zayn in the Bloodline storyline. I'm being dead serious.
And it was one of those that you could see exactly where they were going. You knew how it was going to turn out. You knew they had Elimination Chamber in Canada. And that's where Sami was going to be facing Roman. And it was still excellent. It was still great. And I felt the same way with Macho Man and Hogan. You knew exactly where it was headed.
But really quick, we didn't know Roman was going to say, take that shirt off. Do you remember that promo?
Yeah, that was
amazing. I did not know that was coming. I was like, what are you doing? No, stop. I'm yelling at my television. And got completely fish hooked because Roman ended up turning into like, this guy's our, you know, honorary ooze.
Yeah. It was such a feel good moment for a heel stable where you're just happy after seeing that.
It's so much that was Sammy's body language, even his non-speaking parts in the backdrop where he's not supposed to be a main part of it.
Yeah.
Where it didn't it actually ended up helping and really putting it over when Jay is laughing, right? And is shoot laughing because he can't stop it when, you know, Usy got over in that moment, right? But but Sammy's facial expressions too, when Roman that night goes, he goes, you know what? You can't get along. Well, listen up. If you can't, he's going to be Sammy Uso. And like the whole arena goes bananas. I pop. I don't know anybody that didn't pop at that. It just really ballooned that storyline really forward. And Roman's to be credited for a little bit of that, a lot of that for that matter as well. To your point, Raj.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys have any match of the year picks?
Boom. I did not know we had you have.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, like, there was a year for great matches. I mean, look, if you go by the star ratings, I mean, Omega and Ospreay, like, by far, you know, put on some real bangers this year. It's interesting, though, because, I mean, it's like the criteria for best match, I think, is always beyond who puts on the best, the biggest spectacle, you know, the best technical wrestling. I mean, certainly, yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's about moments and it's about what speaks to you with the mix of storyline and match, at least for me. Like, it's not as linear as just like bell to bell who did the best this year. So, I mean, it's fine not to pick one. I mean, but it was a year of, the quality of wrestling just is insane.
Well, you guys go first. I have to use a laboratory.
All right. Sounds good. I'll go Roman versus Sammy as far as the culmination of this big storyline and that atmosphere and just how hot that crowd was. The one thing I feel like and I'm sure Roman is part of the reason for this, is that he wants to make his opponents look strong, but they keep doing the outside interference in every one of his matches to where it just, it hurts it overall, in my opinion. And I feel like there are guys that Roman should just beat. He's the guy, so it's okay if he beats some guys clean here and there. And gosh, I don't think he's won a match clean since like Riddle.
Yeah, I mean, to pick something a little less obvious, I think Becky Lynch versus Tiffany Stratton and No Mercy was very good in NXT. Becky, I mean, it was a really good match. I think that NXT, part of the reason lately it's been on such a roll is that these PLEs they're doing feel like takeovers again. Like it feels like they're putting on those really memorable matches, you know, with solid spots, good choreography, and just good competition. But spot of the year, I had to make sure it happened this year. And I think, I mean, it has to be, for me at least, Logan Paul and Ricochet's mid-air collision at the Rumble.
Yeah, that was definitely, yeah, I guess that would be it, because I was thinking of Logan and Roman, but that was last year.
Yeah.
That's a good call. It depends if you're just talking about a wrestling move or are you talking about like an angle, because, you know, where finally hit Roman's chair.
Oh, that was good. But I'm just thinking like in-ring spot, like that was the one at the Rumble when Logan and Ricochet did that, where it was like, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. I mean, you know, and I don't know if you guys, what's that?
What about Swerve drinking Hangman's, or Hangman drinking Swerve's blood?
Are you ribbing me? For match of the year? Or gross.
No, spot. We're talking spot. Spot.
Oh. I'm just kidding.
You got people talking.
It did. Or not. I'm a big Swerve fan, and he got elevated with that match, so ultimately it worked.
Yeah.
He did. Who'd you guys pick for match of the year, real quick?
I said Becky versus Tiffany Stratton and No Mercy. I thought
that's
my
your match of the year. It wasn't.
It was
bad,
really good. It's really good.
I said Sammy versus Roman.
Rhea versus Charlotte also was very good at WrestleMania.
It was
what you gamers pointing out.
I go back in time and say CM Punk versus MJF. No. dang.
Oh man.
I don't got one.
That's fine. What about outside of wrestling? Any other high points this year? Any other music? Yes, Matt's like, what exists outside of wrestling?
What was the Succession? That was this
oh
year,
yeah,
right?
Succession ended season. This year. Yeah.
Still, I wasn't happy that was it and it's done with. I did not like that.
But man, that finale was awesome.
No, it was sad and it sucked. The family got screwed over.
But you knew that's, well, not really. I mean, the daughter is basically.
Yeah, shifts with Tom.
Yeah, shifts with Tom and they took control. Spoiler alert.
Did she? I could have sworn she put in at the end with the two brothers. Am I wrong on that?
I don't remember how she voted, but Tom got it and they're still married. So I don't know. I mean, it was a good final season.
Yeah. She voted against him.
Yeah. But of the movies, I didn't see Barbie this year. I didn't see Oppenheimer. Like, I'm behind on a lot of the
was Creed guys. 3? Was Creed 3 this year?
Maybe.
I think so.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
What about I just Billions? Watched Wonka.
Yeah.
Billions was really good.
Yeah, so Billions this year was really good. They brought the main character back after a long overdue, you know, missing him for sure. He drew me to that show to begin with, so I was happy to have him back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Iron Claw was great. Have you guys watched that yet?
I have not seen that.
How do I see it?
Thank you, Veggie Gamer. It's in theaters.
Oh.
No.
Ew. Did you just put yourself over that you got the pre-screening of it?
I did.
Wait, I feel like I know Veggie Gamer. Veggie Gamer, why didn't you give me that?
Oh, I didn't get it from Veggie
Gamer. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Never mind, Veggie Gamer. No heat here.
God, it does this. Why is it every year feels like a decade now? Because I'm like, Cocaine Bear was this year, like that came out.
Was
it Cocaine Bear?
Wow, I would have guessed. I wouldn't have guessed this year. I would have thought 2 years ago.
Yeah, I guess Megan came out at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, Justin Toner noting that Creed 3 was in the spring. That feels like that was last year.
Yes, it does. This is what happens. You get old, folk. This is what happens. You get old, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't guess that. I thought for sure Creed 3 was like a year and a half ago. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I still haven't seen Oppenheimer. I want to see that.
It's so good.
Really? It looks good. Like homework.
A little bit. Okay, I'm not going to lie. There's a little bit of, you got to do a little bit of thinking, yes. It's worth it, though. It is worth it.
Okay.
Do you remember Da Vinci Code?
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of it.
There's a little bit of thinking in that, and it was worth it.
Yeah. No, I just mean Oppenheimer looks like one of those movies, Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
No, they completely went back into the oldest story of all time and just gave you the remix. I thought it was good.
Have you read the book?
No.
Okay, read the book. The book is so much better.
The books are usually better, including even James Patterson's stories with Alex Cross. His books are 10 times better than what Alex Cross ended up being on TV.
Yeah.
But it's usually always that way because we get to use our own imagination with books, right?
Yeah. Plus, it goes into so much of that history, and yeah, like you said, it remixed and they put their unique takes on it. But in the book, they do such a great job with it.
But we're supposed to be in a society, supposedly in a society where everything has to be PC, right? Where you're not supposed to be able to remix the so-called, you know, these supposed stories, and they do, and they do an amazing job of doing it.
I mean, I was like, trying to go through like what was actually real and what wasn't, because they did such a great job.
That's why Assassin's Creed is my favorite video game of all time for folks keeping score on, because they do similar. They totally play on you know that, and they do a really good job with you and putting in like fictional in with like legit what happened in our history times. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what was on TV the other night was Clash of the Titans. The OG one. Wait, you see Clash of the Titans from 1980?
Oh, definitely. I didn't know it was on the other night.
No, it was on the other night, and we started watching again, and I'm reading about it. And as a kid, I was like, oh, this is all Greek mythology. And then I was similar to what you said, I was reading. I was like, oh no, they made, like, they mixed all this other stuff in. They made stuff up. Like, yeah. It's not like you didn't really have an owl named Bobu. Like, it was a whole thing, man. Like, you know.
Yeah. They weaved in and out of that.
Yeah, it's well weird. Done. Man, that movie though is still crazy. Medusa still scares me. But I was gonna say also that was this year, Wrestlers on Netflix that came out.
That was good.
Oh yeah,
September, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if I like shared an opinion on that, it just means a former wrestler liking it because it's about wrestlers, right? So like, what's my opinion really worth in that regard? But I'm happy to see. Is it considered successful?
And arguably it saved OVW. They just got a bunch of new investments in the company. They got a new CEO. That show saved them.
Wow. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Very happy to hear that. Wow.
Yeah, it's a really good show. And I felt like Al Snow just came across as like the coolest guy, you know, from that series.
He is, and such an underrated person for knowing just about everything there is to know about our business.
Yeah.
Like everything. He explains to you. When you first learn from Al, a lot of people talk about, including our show, Gigantic Pop, what pop really means. And goes into it with all of us, what a pop by an audience really legitimately is. Is it them going crazy? Is like 3/4 of them going crazy really a pop? Mm. No, it's not. A pop is what back in the day was by the Road Warriors, by Hulk Hogan, where everybody just loses their god dang mind and just the roof shakes, the floor shakes. And those are true, true pops and would explain it to us in a sexual innuendo way, of course. That's Al. Of explaining it to every guy that can understand it that has never been a wrestler before, because Al started getting intertwined with talents that didn't even watch wrestling, that were former football players and basketball players and all these other kind, and would do a great job of explaining just the very basics of what a pop truly meant, and was such a great teacher, he was the right one to choose for Tough Enough. And at first, as a mark before I got on the show, I'm like, why Al Snow? Like, of all the people to choose, why Al? He wasn't a big star at the time of WWE or WWF, rather. Why? Once I got on there, I saw why. I definitely saw why. And the respect he had from all of his other co-workers that were with WWE that came on as special guests, everyone from JBL to Dudley Boys My Season, Taz, and all these others, they all really respected him because he knows what the hell he's talking about. So I'm really excited to see him at the helm of OVW doing hopefully well. And love when he shares his opinion on the business, because there's not many more that I could possibly agree with more than his opinion.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I think that, it's good. It's good to see that now people are paying attention to them. Like, it's viable now again as a promotion. They have real online presence. So, and hopefully we get a season 2 on Netflix. Although it's weird though, the streaming climate right now is not the best. They're not just green lighting everything anymore. And the thing that I hate is that these shows have such a short shelf life. Like, it's great that you could binge wrestlers all in one day, but then it's, you know, people are on to the next thing, you know, a week later.
Well, that's why I would always say, like, with Cobra Kai and shows like that, I prefer it when it's once a week, where they drop it once a week, because then you could go online, you could discuss it. When it's all dropped at one time, you don't know where everyone else is at. You can't really, you don't want to spoil anything. A Game of Thrones, everyone's talking about that specific episode when it drops.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
When you drop all the whole season of Cobra Kai,
Can I just say I'm very selfish in my TV viewing habits or phone viewing habits, and I do want it all dropped in one season.
Yeah.
In a perfect world. Yeah. But that's just me.
Yeah, we binged Reacher season 1 and now having to watch season 2 weekly.
Oh, so is... now I'm sorry, I meant to cut you off, but I followed up on Reacher. I know exactly what you're talking about. The dude is jacked. He's the perfect person for playing Reacher.
Yeah, he's so good, but it sucks now watching it weekly because you get in the Reacher zone where you're like, this guy's just deducing everything and he's so like humble and human and he just solves everything with violence and I just want more and more and more. And then it's like, oh no, I gotta wait another week.
You saw him in Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah, he was way different in Fast and the Furious. His character was funny, but it was a very different jacked vibe. Oh yeah, he's very jacked. Yeah, he's in very good shape.
Watch Iron Claw. Zac Efron is just gigantic. He decided to play Kerry Von Erich instead of Kevin Von Erich. I mean, he is just ripped to shreds. Hang on.
Why is that funny? What's wrong with that?
No, I just mean like his body resembles Kerry more than Kevin, and he's playing Kevin.
Oh, he's playing Kevin in the movie?
Yeah.
Interesting. Kevin was no slouch either. But
no, Kevin was
much more lean versus Kerry. Yeah. Kerry,
he was like a normal athlete.
Kerry, to me, when I was a little kid, looked exactly like Conan the Barbarian. I mean, identical to that character when I was a little kid. I always thought, I used to confuse the two because I was still little.
Yeah, I mean, if you put Kerry and Ultimate Warrior side by side, there's not, I mean, Warrior was more vascular, but
go back to WCCW, Kerry. Mm-hmm. I will put Kerry's body against it.
Yeah. I mean, he was ripped to shreds. So, and Zac Efron, Jesus. But, and he was actually really great in that movie overall as well. Real quick, we had this,
that
2K Universe Elite. Thank you. We appreciate it. Breakout star of 2023, one face and one heel.
Ugh. I did not come prepared, boys.
LA Knight, does he count?
Was he a face or a heel? He's on his own plane of existence, man.
He's a face.
Kinda.
Sorry. He's face now. He wrestles heels.
Regardless, face, heel, I don't care. He's easily the breakout star. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, amazing trajectory going from not even being on the WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a manager last year. His name, what was his name? Max Dupree.
Yeah.
So, Don, oh, yeah. Veggie Gamer bringing up Dom Dom.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dom Dom. We mentioned
that. No. Dom Dom's a breakout. Hasn't Dom been getting the heat now for a year?
Since this year, right?
Well, no. Last Thanksgiving, remember when he went to jail the attack of the Mysterio household?
Okay, then. Yeah, you're right. A little slightly under than 1 year. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fair one.
Oh, my God. He's so incredible, and it's so amazing they're doing this with him.
He has the most heat in pro wrestling, guys. I will say it right now. Did anyone we've seen in the modern era, I'm not exaggerating. Yeah. They legit hate this little shit. If you watch the CM Punk match at Madison Square Garden and the person that's using their phone to videotape that match, listen to all the kids in the audience talking ish to Rhea Ripley going, "You're with that guy? He's a loser. Why do you like him? He sucks. Dom, you suck." Like legit hatred for this guy. In a day and age where beyond the rabbits out of the hat, okay?
Right.
It's a work and they still hate him.
Yeah. Christian's been awesome this year too. He's you can't call him a breakout star. He's been a huge star forever. I'd say Swerve too.
I was gonna say, can we give it to Swerve?
I think Swerve is definitely up there. Trick Williams, Justin Toner's mentioning in the comments.
I like Trick on that. Okay, I'll take Trick on that too.
I mean, the biggest, the craziest thing of the year for me is still probably
a wrestler being Mr. PC, but God. You give him the last two awards to a female wrestler. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Very sensitive, Matt. But anyow,
I was going to
change the subject to say that I think the biggest what the hell moment, the biggest whiff, the biggest airball has got to be Adam Copeland going to AEW.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Because that seemed like such a huge deal. And then just no one's even talking about it anymore.
They're not talking about Edge. Adam Copeland and they're not talking about the Adam Copeland and Christian storyline?
I mean, a little bit, but not really. That
match did a bad rating too. Like that episode where they had their match on free TV did a pretty low rating, all things considered. So
remember I told you I think of ratings when it comes to my fandom of watching something and liking it or not. But
yeah.
But regardless, I mean, so look, I've told you guys 1,000 times. I don't care who the talent is. When they come to a lesser than company, it doesn't matter. It's not going to move the freaking needle. Mm-hmm. It just won't. And there might be some segments in which they do make that happen, right? But still, at the end of the day, in the long term, it will not do it. It takes something different. It takes a creative overflow rather, where something overhaul rather, where something completely different changes and fans are excited about that quote unquote something changing, or maybe their stars will, their favorite wrestler will get a chance or things of the like. But I would never think of Adam Copeland as like, Glenn, you think he's been a failure since going there?
I mean, Vizek Mann saying Christian has been carrying Adam Copeland through the feud and he somehow made the angle less interesting. Like, it's weird. What I'm saying is that, Matt, the hype for this was when he debuted, oh my God, AEW, another one, another big score coming from WWE. This is going to be so great. The hype intro. Everybody's so stoked to see him show up. What's he going to do with Christian? And then it's like, I'm just saying that the quality of it, even for, the very few people are talking about it, and even the people that are talking about it aren't raving. It's like, oh my God, this is all I've been waiting for. It's like, oh, it's okay.
So let me ask this. If this was roles reversed, and this was Christian coming back to WWE to create a storyline versus Edge.
Yeah.
Do you guys really think they'd be in the upper echelon of the card? No, they would not. They'd be in the middle of the pack. No, trust me, they would be because how they think, and which is stupid, but that they're a little bit older. Therefore, the Roman and all of them should be on the top of the card. And that match would be right in the middle. So I think that's something to bring up. Should they be more in the middle of the card? I hate the word, you use the word inferior, but semi-inferior to an MJF and some of the younger stars that they're supposed to be building into household names.
It's just interesting how it's gone. And let me remind you that Edge versus Randy Orton WWE build is the greatest wrestling match of all time before it even happened.
You're so funny.
I'm just saying,
I want to know your breakout star, though, Glenn. Who's your breakout star?
It's really tough to pick one. Yeah, I don't know that I could pick just one because there was a lot of stuff I really like this.
Tiffany Stratton?
No, Tiffany Stratton's good. I mean, I pop more for Chase U, Tiffany Stratton, but she's not my pick. I mean, I pop more for Chase U this year. I actually think Thea Hale, if I had to pick someone in the Chase U angle, Thea Hale. She's the short younger girl who has is she's on Adderall all the time. She's like really amped up.
Is that part of the storyline that she's on Adderall?
No, it's not part of the storyline, but that's her personality. If you watch her, you go like, oh my God, she's got like an insane amount of energy. And they had this storyline this year where she sort of broke bad by hanging out with JC Jane. Chase U has a gambling scandal. Like a lot's going on in Chase U this year. It's been
can I watch all those clips in one or no? Because I'm going to give AEW credit right now.
Yeah.
They give you a good, if you go on their AEW YouTube channel, I'm not plugging it, but at the same time I am, because they do a good job of doing their storylines from start to finish to catch you up if you miss something. Mm-hmm. Do they have something like that?
They are not that good. They are not as good as that. I know. There's the segments online, but I'm saying Thea Hale really caught my
attention. You're talking about NXT though, right?
In NXT. In AEW, I'd say Tony Storm is probably my pick for sort of breakout player this year.
Yeah.
Because it was just so unexpected what she's been doing, and her commitment to it is A+.
Oh, God, yeah.
She's been great.
God, yeah, like WWE, I wonder if they watch that, Raj, and they're like, they probably make, because I know WWE and the attitude and the swagger they usually have when they see other companies doing something. I give you an example. When TNA first started and supposedly Vince on a plane watching going, is that Double J? Like, you know, making fun of it. Meanwhile, say what you will, Vince, TNA turned out a good portion of your roster that you've made a lot of money off of being your main event or former champions. But regardless, I wonder though, if does WWE watch that? I hope they watch and go, what? Look at this girl's acting chops. We could have had that with her. Why were we not doing something even remotely close by making, like, exploring all of what she could possibly give us? That's the biggest swing and miss I've seen in a long time for WWE.
Yeah, as far as AEW getting a WWE star and them going beyond, it's Swerve and Tony Storm. You know,
yeah,
Swerve, Tony Storm. I feel like I'm missing. There's another example. Come on, that's like 10 times more impressive with AEW than they were with WWE. And I'm gonna brain fart on it in a minute. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, because a lot of times it feels just sort of like a rehash. I mean, no, I mean, it's great that Paige can wrestle again, but I don't think Paige is, or Saraya is doing groundbreaking work in AEW. I feel like she's doing what she's always done, which is good, but it's not, you know, with Ruby Soho, kind of the same deal. Like the, it's a continuation rather than a reboot. And I think with Toni Storm, that's what's so impressive about it. Because her gimmick in WWE sucked.
Yeah.
It wasn't a gimmick. It was her mom listened to hard rock or heavy metal in the 80s.
You know what I love, Matt? You don't remember anything, especially about like more obscure wrestlers. And I love that you beat me to that, that that was her gimmick in WWE, that you remember.
Because
that.
It's annoying. It's so disrespectful and super annoying. Because so she bad. Was always... Because even if you watch her, you didn't know anything about her character. You saw she was different in the ring with how she moved around the ring, how she worked, her moves, everything you could tell. And they blundered the hell out of it.
I know.
And they kept her, what, in England for God knows how long without being on the main roster added on top of it.
Yeah, it was odd. But no, all in all, it's been a good year. I think that 2024 is going to continue this swing, right? Wrestling is really hot. The hottest it's been in a while.
Yeah.
In 2024, Raj is going to wake up every day and regret even more that he sold Wrestling Inc. and just wait it out a few more years.
Good point. I'm good with it.
All right, time out. Don't be mad at me for asking this, Raj. With all the CM Punk drama and CM Punk now being back to WWE, if you had sold it right there, the week Punk comes back, would that have been a better opportunity to sell it or no?
Oh, man. Ideally, it would have been the year I sold. So, geez, it feels like it was years ago. It's just last year. Yeah. That summer, Sasha left. You had, you know, the MJF stuff where he, you know, people can tell if it was real or not.
Yeah.
That summer was just insane news-wise. Vince McMahon retiring. It was just insane. So,
okay.
That would have been. I will
second that because that is still beyond me even happened. Vince McMahon retiring. You heard every single one of us ever worked for that old man say he's never retiring. He'll die in that chair. It's not to sound cute or kiss his ass because he's an hard worker. That's not why we say it. We say it because he's that much of a control freaking freak.
Yes.
And good point. Yeah. That's okay.
The news was insane last year.
No, it's crazy. I think next year is going to be even more nuts. And, you know, there's a lot that's happening.
And we're going to do a post-Royal Rumble show, right? The first... are we? Right? Are we? Or no?
Sure. I'm not going to get asked to do it on any other channel. Sure.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm not. They don't call on me for that. They like Handsome Jack Farmer for that, if it even happens.
Who do you write?
It's true.
So, it's still a month away, but...
No, it's exciting.
Mark it,
man.
On your calendars, guys.
Yeah,
it's post good, Royal man. Rumble, the three of us doing a pay-per-view post show.
And in 2024, Jungle Boy is going to come back
and be on our podcast and tell what big fans of him we are.
Yeah, that would be.
Do you think he's the devil after what happened at Dynamite last night?
The only way I'll accept him being the devil if he takes the mask off and go, Will Glass, Tommy Raven. That's the only way I'll accept him being the devil. And then somebody boot him right in the mush as hard as possible.
I think that would be a fart in church if he turns out to be the devil.
Of course it will. Yeah. He can't. I'm not saying this because he screwed up Punk's exit with AEW or his last chapter there. But I really mean it. He proved it to me as a guy that was actually trying to root him on because I'm a big Luchasaurus fan. I love Luchasaurus. I love what he does in the ring as a big man athletically. And so by proxy, I was a Jungle Jack jerk-off fan because of it. With that said, he proved that he can't talk. He cannot talk. I'll tell you when he did. He did it in that four-way promo with MJF and Darby. And what was my other guy?
Was it Sammy?
The guys in the circle. Yes, Sammy Guevara. That's very disrespectful to remember his name because I'm a big fan of his, actually. Sammy Guevara, and then MJF, obviously. Now, you could say, well, Matt, MJF eats everybody up on the mic. Okay, yes, that's true. But Jack got eaten up by all the two others as well in that four-way in-ring promo. It was horrible. He came across as a whiny little, you know what, not a star. And when he comes to the ring, when his music hits, he just looks so apoplectic. He doesn't look like he gives a flip about the match he's about to be in. There's no excitement. Yeah. There's no pump. There's no, I'm about to murder this guy. Or if that's not your character, shake, you know, give it fans high five, come in 85, maybe face out something to show fire. He doesn't. He just walks to the ring in a pair of like underwear that looks like two times too short for him and too small for him. And it looks weird and looks uncomfortable. And but once he gets in the ring, what sucks about it, what I just said, is he actually can sell his ass off. He can really sell. He's got to figure out how to tap into being able to cut a promo, though, because that's where you get to get people, besides the fact when you're in the match selling and reaching out to the audience for power, quote unquote, and energy to get behind you. They're not going to do that if you just caught a fart in church promo the week beforehand and you showed your ass in a promo. They're not going to do it after that. That's why WWE is very smart with Jeff Hardy in that regard, because if you remember, they did not let Jeff talk in the very beginning. They just let him get his butt kicked and constantly reach out to the fans, and the fans would eventually get behind him. He didn't have to cut world beater promos to do it. Yeah. This was backwards, where they've given Jack Perry too many times to talk, too many times to fail, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and by the time that match happened, you know, the four-way with Jack Perry, he got the least reaction of everyone. So.
Yeah. Even though he's the best seller of the bunch, I will not take that away from him. He's a great seller.
So technically, in the history books, is the match he had at Wembley the most consequential pre-show match of all time? Yes.
Oh my God, without question, especially if WWE somehow finds their way with this new deal. Oh my Lord.
If WWE goes to WBD and it's because of Punk, oh my God. Like,
P.S., the company that created an entire Saturday show because of this person.
Yeah.
God. Oh my God. There needs to be a show just about that.
That's a dark side of the ring.
That's a dark side of the ring.
Probably the craziest showbiz drama that I can think of since the stuff with Conan and Leno happened 13 years ago with the Tonight Show.
Yeah. 13 years ago. You mean, I guess that was 13 years ago.
It wasn't longer than that.
It was about 2009, maybe 25. With Conan, what happened? Not with Letterman.
Right. Yeah.
With Conan. Yeah. And it turned out Conan got screwed because he forgot to put one clause in his contract that his show had to go on before midnight. And so NBC was able to screw him when he walked away. I mean, things like this don't happen in the entertainment business very much, because normally contracts are rock solid. You account for every possibility. And Tony Khan, God bless him, didn't know enough to...
With respect to Tony or not, he didn't care. He cared about being popular on Twitter in the moment. That's what he cared about. And he lost a golden opportunity to sit everybody down and go, I'm your boss. Here's what we're doing. We're making money with it. CM Punk, you don't want to do it, you can leave. Young Bucks, you don't want to do it, you can leave. Kenny Omega, you want to do it, you can bounce too. And put it out there like that. And he should have done it. And I don't care. He's had so much time to think about it since. There's going to be some BS excuse that comes eventually of, oh, he tried to do it. No, you didn't. I know it firsthand. You did not. I swear to God, I know it firsthand. You did not do it. And you lost out. And then worst, you tried to thank you, witching hour, because I was about to get to that. And you added insult to injury by trying to then dump on CM Punk, a guy who created the pathway for all these more non-muscular, nondescript, physically speaking, wrestlers that are now, you know, the cat's pajama, showing my age, in today's pro wrestling, with main event talents and people that our fans like to see today that are not big bodybuilders and are not a jack that are not jacked, that are not look like these. They can kick somebody's ass in a real fight. That ship has sailed years ago, but it started with somebody like CM Punk. And then after that, I would argue Daniel Bryan. How do I say it now?
Bryan Danielson.
I still say Daniel Bryan.
But do you know what I'm saying? So like, he's going to come up with an excuse because this is the biggest goof and goff of all time, in my opinion, for a wrestling promoter. When you really break this down to its barest form, this will be the biggest F up of letting a talent go. And I'm being then sincere about this.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Eric Bischoff letting Stone Cold go? I'll defend Eric on this. Stone Cold was not Stone Cold Steve Austin at the time when Eric let him go. Yeah. All right. He was a mid-carder at the time with a ton of upside. And every other wrestler thought this guy could be a main event talent one day if somebody ever gave this poor guy a chance, right? But he wasn't there yet. You had CM Punk, who was there now, who was there as a main event talent. And you could have made it work. You chose not to make it work. And not only did you not choose to make it work once, you chose not to make it work twice, all to be popular for like 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, maybe two, on Twitter, because you feared for your life. From a front face lock, Tony. A front face lock. Really? A front face lock? Come on.
Matt, I don't know if you saw this. I think this was today, actually. But Tony was talking about the cage match ratings that they've been getting.
Cage match?
Yeah.
The website.
Shut up. Please shut up.
I'm not kidding.
That's what we're dwindling it down to? Are we doing it? Oh, my God.
Yeah. How many people are watching in prisons, though? What's the rating on that?
This is the definition. Hang on. This is the definition of kissing your cousin or being the world, again, the world's tallest short person. Congrats, Tony. Good stuff. You guys are the third best. That. Good job.
Bigfoot Sneakerhead 499. What's up? Saying, guys, who should Tony Khan hire so we can stay in the background? Mm-hmm. Objectively, they need a GM or something like that.
He needs more than a GM. He definitely needs an on-air character to match mate. That would help. But that's not all. He needs somebody that needs to take care of the creative. Tony Khan's a busy mother. You know what? This guy is not just responsible for this. Wrestling fans just know him from this. What about, you know, his interests in the Jaguars and that soccer team and all this other stuff that he's got going on? I will just say this. He should bring somebody on to help him with this because he has the talent. There's no question.
Yeah.
That is the most talented roster I've seen in maybe ever. I'll be real.
Yeah.
Maybe ever. From top to bottom, Raj, everyone on that roster can go and can get over and can be big-time stars. That's my opinion. I think so. So they need to have somebody that can help them get there. I don't get why Tony just doesn't get out of his own way and go, because I fantasy booked bank when I was a little kid, this one. No. Get out of the way of yourself, Tony, and let somebody know what they're doing. It's not disrespect you saying that. It's you being a leader. If you're a leader, you put people in position to succeed that know a certain area better than you. That'd be like me in the city of Longwood telling my police hey, this is what you should be doing. Fire department, this is what you should be doing. Hey, blue-collar workers that are working on our streets, you know what? Don't do that street. You should do this street instead. What? They'd be like, dude, you don't know what the hell. They would be correct in saying that.
Yeah.
We hire directors of each of those divisions to handle that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
and I think also he needs to, because he is such a fan, right, that he might put a little too much influence on match quality as opposed to stories. And AEW has a ton of stories, but as far as ones that mean something, that are growing the company, as far as getting characters over to be larger than life stars, they've kind of been missing the boat on that. And getting someone involved just, that gets that.
Brother, and I'm a former wrestler, so I'll be very real with you right now, Raj, and our audience, Glenn, that as a former wrestler, yes, I do like to watch wrestling match quality. That's true. I love I'm going to screw his name up. I keep wanting to say Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson match the other night versus Eddie. I liked watching that, and I know people are making fun of that tournament and blah, 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 but they were giving enough time to have one hell of a story, tell one hell of a story in that ring. I was a fan of that match. With that said, I'm a former wrestler. I'm not the general public. I'm not the casual. I'm not the family of five that you're you should be trying to attract. If you're trying to attract just a smart fan or a former wrestler that's now still a fan, that's not going to fill an arena. That's not going to fill the arenas. That's not going to buy your house show tickets for you. That's for sure. We're just going to watch it on YouTube the next day. In fact, we're not even going to contribute to your rating on television. We're going to wait for it to come out on YouTube and watch it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a weird, effect, I think, because the hype, the YouTube, the online views, people that watch clips on Twitter, like that contributes to the buzz, which gets more people to tune in and lifts the ratings. But, you know, I wanted to call this out before we finish, with AEW, that there's not many more of the original signings in old guard left with this changeover, aside from the EVPs. I want to say Sean Spears. It came out today that Sean Spears is leaving AEW. His contract's not renewing. And of course, we remember him fondly as the chairman good hand that had the feud with Cody's first feud in AEW. Yep. And I think this just really shows, we've seen this with Leva Bates, with Sunny Kiss. We've seen a lot of contracts that weren't renewed from the 3 year, the 4 year. And so now we're coming up on 5 year deals.
Yeah.
And soon I think it's going to be very clear that, you know, aside from the Bucks and Kenny, Hangman, Chris, I mean, this is very much a different company than the one that started.
So can I say something? I think they made a mistake bringing former WWE talents in versus if you did bring a WWE talent in, immediately they have to job to your AEW talent. Like I would have, if I'm the booker, I immediately would have done that. I would have built up the match and have, let's say, like Moxley or somebody like that coming in, or Claudio, whoever, job out to a Brian Cage or whoever that is an AEW wrestler, and make them look like bigger talents. What these talent, what these companies do, and TNA was guilty of it more than anybody, was bringing former WWE talents in to just steamroll their own guys from the company, which never made sense to me.
And the problem is too, you see guys like Christian out there, and they just are so above, you know, most of the younger guys, except for MJF, on the mic and
well, on the mic. Okay, yeah,
you know, and they need to find, they need to get guys to care more about that, that personality aspect, the interviewing aspect, the cutting promos that get people to care.
Roz, let me ask you something. Would you do that then if you have, let's say, non-WWE talent and it's just AEW talent we're talking, like originals, etc., that don't have that ability to get over on the microphone? Would you then put him out there on the microphone to not get over? Because I love watching Kenny Omega wrestle. I'm not going to lie, I love watching him wrestle. I don't love watching him speak. I think he hurts himself when he speaks because of his tonnage and the words he tries to use to be too cute sometimes. And it takes away from him being an incredibly talented wrestler in that ring.
Yeah, I think, you know, when he was with Don Callis, I thought that was the perfect pairing.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes.
He didn't have to do too much. He let Don Callis do the talking. And then, you know, Kenny Omega just felt the biggest he has in AEW when that was going on.
When he was with him and coming to Impact, jabroning them for the world championships. I got your belt too. What? It was Don doing all the ish talking. Yeah, that was a good point.
No, it's like, imagine if they'd given Ricochet a manager in WWE.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They still can.
I know.
They still should.
Yeah.
He's so talented.
Anything else before we wrap it up?
Irvine? Let me ask a question, because I just watched something popped up on my Facebook of Samantha Irvine doing this like announcing gimmick with Cody and others. He would just give her an action figure and she would do the announcing. She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
I do wonder, could they make her into a promo? Because she seems incredibly confident on the microphone, which is half the battle when you're cutting promos. She's not worried or shook when it comes time to being put on the spot to speak. That's half the battle as well. I wonder if they should not make her his manager.
Ah, good idea.
She's got the bass in her voice. She's got great bass in her voice when it's time to be excitable. And she's so comfortable on the mic. I think she is incredibly underrated as a ring announcer, too.
No, she's phenomenal as a ring announcer.
Oh, she's so good.
Yeah, which is why I almost wouldn't want to see her become manager, because she is so good.
Can we lose her there?
You know?
Yeah.
It's hard to find ring announcers that have that personality. Like, you know, us growing up with Finkel, right? Like, it's hard to find the ones that are, like, really good. And she's
Finkel was so good.
He was. He's the greatest. So good.
I agree. You know what? I'm actually used to Mark out, because he'd be the one that calls for our house show schedule. And I'm like, this is not, this is a track. Like, this is a recording I'm getting. Hello? Like, hello? Can you hear me? Like, of course I can hear you, Matt. What? I'm just trying to tell you your program. Like, okay, I'm sorry. I'll shut up. Keep going, sir. And I'm hitting mute going, holy shit. Larissa, did you hear that? And I put it on speakerphone.
Dude, Finkel to this day, him saying, and new. Like, no one did.
Yes.
Like he
does. Yes.
Bigfoot Sneakerhead wants to know, do you think Shane O'Mac would join AEW in creative?
Hell to the no. No, no, absolutely not. No, no, no. I know he did join, I don't know, UCF or UFC rather. No, hell no.
No.
Bigfoot. Come on, Bigfoot.
Shane McMahon has stepped in it so many times over the recent years between Raw Underground, the WrestleMania thing that happened in LA, the Royal Rumble where Vince like asked him to leave because Shane was trying to book himself to go himself over
to win in the Rumble, right? Or something like that.
And that was like, or like dominant. Ago. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's amazing the blunders this guy has had, but I can't like yet. I miss him and I want him back because it's just so entertaining to see like his weird Nepo baby F ups.
Shane is he's fun to watch.
Okay.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, Raw Underground was so dumb, but I would go for it. Like, they brought it back in NXT.
I don't think Shane really created that.
No, he did. Remember?
Did he come up with that behind the scenes?
That Shane had a groundbreaking concept that was going to save WWE in the pandemic by bringing.
But was that the storyline thing?
No, there was no storyline about Raw Underground on the air. The reports that came out from behind the scenes was that Shane's got this idea. It's going to look totally different. And in theory, you know, the entire third hour could Raw could turn into the Raw Underground. And they had the dancers and the cage and the guys in suits. Like it was so just, there was so much, but you know what though? It's one of the most thought out visions we've ever seen in WWE. And to that, I give him credit.
I block out that year. So
what do you mean by thought out, Glenn?
No, I mean, like, he really thought it out. It's like he was playing Grand Theft Auto, and Shane was like, I got this idea. He, like, probably had people draw up storyboards and concept art. He cast the dancers himself, and he was like, this is my vision. The way my father bought his company from his father, I, Shane McMahon, will launch the Raw Underground, and the WWE will see success it has never seen before.
Yikes.
To be fair, that wasn't even close to the worst thing that was on WWE TV that year. You had the eye extraction matches.
What?
Remember Rey Mysterio? He had to get his eye poked out.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
No, but if it wasn't Shane McMahon, if it was just, you know, Spanky the intern that came and said, hey, guys, I have this idea for this UFC thing, Vince would have been like, I just would have looked at him and walked away. But because it was Shane McMahon, it got on the air and it got, you know, a fair chance. And it was objectively terrible, but I wish it would come back.
So Vince has always had this hard on for MMA. Once UFC started to do WWE, especially storylines and promos better than WWE was doing them at one point, right? He did start to finally see them as competition, regardless of what he says publicly or what he did say publicly at the time, obviously. So I think as soon as you say MMA to him, that he's all aboard because, it's got to be groundbreaking then. It's got to be groundbreaking. No, Vince, you were like 18 years behind the curve on that one, brother.
Vince, you know what the problem with MMA is? People watch these pay-per-views and these fights are over in 3 minutes. What if we did it and you get your value?
And we can build who our top guy is. Imagine being a Randy Couture and going undefeated and da-da-da-da. Then he out of left field loses to some J-Brone out of left field. That's not action. That's not fun. Who wants to get behind that guy after that? That was his feeling.
Yeah. But can you imagine Vince being like, what if it's like our fights, our matches, but they're really hitting each other?
Oh, Lord. They did that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God. Oh, my God. So they have an NXT. They call it the NXT Underground match, but it's just a different ring. It's not, there's no dancers.
What?
They call it the Dijak and Eddie Thorpe just had an NXT Underground match, but it's just a different lighting and ring mat.
What? I did not know. What do they get to do in this Underground match that's so crazy and different?
No, it's supposed to be more brutal. It's supposed to be more like
So let me ask you a question. Does that mean every other NXT star is just holding back during their matches and not giving everything they could?
That's right.
That's what I always hated when they do stuff like that. Like in TNA, when they did that with Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, like they're like, oh, now they're really fighting. Well, it's like, what has everything else been?
When they brought Frank Trigg in, I was there too. And I thought the same thing with, he had to do a storyline with AJ. I'm like, you're gonna have this guy beat up AJ, like your best wrestler in the company besides Kurt. Like, this is a terrible idea because you're gonna say, it's real though, and it's amateur wrestling, and it's this. You're saying that's more important than pro wrestling? Why would you ever do that?
Right. Yeah, you're shitting on your own product.
Whatever. Yeah. Your own start.
When they had the greatest wrestling match of all time, all that tells us is every other match is not the greatest wrestling match of all time.
Yes, I agree.
It's weird we had to do that and cover that and talk about, like, that was a real thing. And the match went on way too long.
I try to block out that 2.5 year period.
Tagline? Oh, yeah. Oh, the whole year. Yeah, the whole year and a half. And,
yeah, all that. I have not rewatched anything outside of maybe The Undertaker, AJ Styles, WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because people just assume we dump on AEW the whole time, which maybe we do. when it's deserved. You know. But let me ask a question. Who do you think did better in response to the COVID issue? When COVID first hit, which company do you think did a better job with the cards that they were dealt? Because in my opinion, I did think it was AEW.
Me, I agree 100%.
Well, they were letting fans in for a while.
But no, not in the very beginning they didn't.
Oh, got it.
Not in the very beginning they didn't.
Yeah. But outside of Daly's place, they had some in there.
But they also had control of their environment.
Yeah.
Eventually, they did allow X amount of fans, which you still couldn't see, by the way, or hear. It didn't make a difference versus popping and booing, in my opinion. Because, again, the dude owns the place. but I did think it did matter. And Cody Rhodes' promo coming out, was really strong.
Yeah, I
felt that promo by him that night.
Yeah, the outdoor atmosphere was better than WWE with the screens, and then they had the Von Wagner behind plexiglass and the other NXT recruits.
Right, where they're like tapping on the glass. Yes. I mean, it was so bad. But it was better once they got to the Thunderdome, because before the Thunderdome,
God. The Thunder with the screens, that was so
Claudio. Can I just say, Claudio, out of any talent in WWE, got the most over, in my opinion, for a male talent during that time. And I do think it helped Roman get out of his head, because he wasn't being boo-bird as a babyface anymore and having to deal with that psychologically in his own head that he's not getting over as a face. Mm-hmm. And he had that gap. He had this gap to get through. Mm-hmm. Of that time to now, F everybody, I'm coming back as a heel, screw you all, you had a chance to cheer me, F you, I don't care anymore. And he had that COVID gap to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
true. Oh, man.
We have gone long tonight.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's wrap it up before 2024 is here.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Please like, share, subscribe. We'll be back next week for our first show of 2024. What will we talk about? Who knows? We'll see you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.